The Synthesis of Yoga, Sri Aurobindo. Part 2, The Yoga of Integral Knowledge, Chapter 26, Samadhi, page 519. Intimately connected with the aim of the Yoga of Knowledge, which must always be the growth, the ascent, or the withdrawal into a higher, or a divine consciousness not now normal to us, is the importance attached to the phenomenon of yogic trance, to samadhi. It is supposed that there are states of being which can only be gained in trance. That especially is to be desired in which all action of awareness is abolished, and there is no consciousness at all, except the pure supramental immersion in immobile, timeless, and infinite being. By passing away in this trance, the soul departs into the silence of the highest nirvana without possibility of return into any illusory or inferior state of existence. Samadhi is not so all-important in the yoga of devotion, but it still has its place there as the swoon of being into which the ecstasy of divine love casts the soul. To enter into it is the supreme step of the ladder of yogic practice in Raja Yoga and Hatha Yoga. What then is the nature of samadhi, or the utility of its trance, in an integral yoga? It is evident that where our objective includes the possession of the divine in life, a state of cessation of life cannot be the last consummating step or the highest desirable condition. Yogic trance cannot be an aim, as in so many yogic systems, but only a means, and a means not of escape from the waking existence, but to enlarge and raise the whole seeing, living, and active consciousness. The importance of samadhi rests upon the truth which modern knowledge is rediscovering, but which has never been lost in Indian psychology, that only a small part, whether of world being or of our own being, comes into our ken or into our action. The rest is hidden behind in subliminal reaches of being which descend into the profoundest depths of the subconscious and rise to highest peaks of superconscience, or which surround the little field of our waking self with a wide circumconscient existence, of which our mind and sense catch only a few indications. The old Indian psychology expressed this fact by dividing consciousness into three provinces: waking state, dream state, sleep state, jagrat, svapna, sushupti. And it supposed in the human being a waking self, a dream self, a sleep self, with the supreme or absolute self of being, the fourth or turiya, beyond, of which all these are derivations for the enjoyment of relative experience in the world. If we examine the phraseology of the old books, we shall find that the waking state is the consciousness of the material universe, which we normally possess in this embodied existence dominated by the physical mind. The dream state is a consciousness corresponding to the subtler life plane and mind plane behind, which to us, even when we get intimations of them, have not the same concrete reality as the things of the physical existence. The sleep state is a consciousness corresponding to the supramental plane proper to the gnosis, which is beyond our experience because our causal body, or envelope of gnosis, is not developed in us, its faculties not active, and therefore we are, in relation to that plane, in a condition of dreamless sleep. The Turiya beyond is the consciousness of our pure self-existence, or our absolute being with which we have no direct relations at all. Whatever mental reflections we may receive in our dream or our waking or even, irrecoverably, in our sleep consciousness. This fourfold scale corresponds to the degrees of the ladder of being by which we climb back towards the absolute divine. Normally, therefore, we cannot get back from the physical mind to the higher planes or degrees of consciousness without receding from the waking state, without going in and away from it and losing touch with the material world. Hence, to those who desire to have the experience of these higher degrees, trance becomes a desirable thing, a means of escape from the limitations of the physical mind and nature. Samadhi, or yogic trance, retires to increasing depths according as it draws farther and farther away from the normal or waking state, and enters into degrees of consciousness less and less communicable to the waking mind, less and less ready to receive a summons from the waking world. Beyond a certain point, the trance becomes complete, and it is then almost or quite impossible to awaken or call back the soul that has receded into them. It can only come back by its own will, or at most by a violent shock of physical appeal dangerous to the system owing to the abrupt upheaval of return. There are said to be supreme states of trance, in which the soul, persisting for too long a time, cannot return, for it loses its hold on the cord which binds it to the consciousness of life. And the body is left, maintained indeed in its set position, not dead by dissolution, but incapable of recovering the ensouled life which had inhabited it. Finally, the yogin acquires, at a certain stage of development, the power of abandoning his body definitively without the ordinary phenomena of death, by an act of will. Ichamnityu, or by a process of withdrawing the pranic life force through the gate of the upward life current, udana, opening for it a way through the mystic Brahmarandra in the head. By departure from life, in the state of samadhi, he attains directly to that higher status of being to which he aspires. In the dream state itself, there are an infinite series of depths. From the lighter recall is easy, and the world of the physical senses is at the doors, though for the moment shut out. In the deeper, it becomes remote and less able to break in upon the inner absorption. The mind has entered into secure depths of trance. There is a complete difference between samadhi and normal sleep, between the dream state of yoga and the physical state of dream. The latter belongs to the physical mind. In the former, the mind proper and subtle is at work, liberated from the immixture of the physical mentality. The dreams of the physical mind are an incoherent jumble, made up partly of responses to vague touches from the physical world, round which the lower mind faculties, disconnected from the will and reason, the buddhi, weave a web of wandering fantasy, partly of disordered associations from the brain memory, partly of reflections from the soul traveling on the mental plane. Reflections which are, ordinarily, received without intelligence or coordination, wildly distorted in the reception and mixed up confusedly with the other dream elements, with brain memories, and fantastic responses to any sensory touch from the physical world. In the yogic dream state, on the other hand, the mind is in clear possession of itself, though not of the physical world, works coherently, and is able to use either its ordinary will and intelligence with a concentrated power, or else the higher will and intelligence of the more exalted planes of mind. It withdraws from experience of the outer world. It puts its seals upon the physical senses and their doors of communication with material things. But everything that is proper to itself, thought, reasoning, reflection, vision, it can continue to execute with an increased purity and power of sovereign concentration, free from the distractions and unsteadiness of the waking mind. It can use, too, its will and produce upon itself or upon its environment mental, moral, and even physical effects which may continue and have their after consequences on the waking state subsequent to the cessation of the trance. To arrive at full possession of the powers of the dream state, it is necessary first to exclude the attack of the sights, sound, etc., of the outer world upon the physical organs. It is quite possible indeed to be aware in the dream trance of the outer physical world through the subtle senses which belong to the subtle body. One may be aware of them just so far as one chooses, and on a much wider scale than in the waking condition. For the subtle senses have a far more powerful range than the gross physical organs, a range which may be made practically unlimited. But this awareness of the physical world through the subtle senses is something quite different from our normal awareness of it through the physical organs. The latter is incompatible with the settled state of trance. For the pressure of the physical senses breaks the samadhi and calls back the mind to live in their normal field, where alone they have power. But the subtle senses have power both upon their own planes and upon the physical world, though this is to them more remote than their own world of being. In yoga, various devices are used to seal up the doors of the physical sense, some of them physical devices. But the one all-sufficient means is a force of concentration by which the mind is drawn inward to depths where the call of physical things can no longer easily attain to it. A second necessity is to get rid of the intervention of physical sleep. The ordinary habit of the mind, when it goes in away from contact with physical things, is to fall into the torpor of sleep, or its dreams, and therefore, when called in for the purposes of samadhi, it gives, or tends to give, at the first chance, by sheer force of habit, not the response demanded, but its usual response of physical slumber. This habit of the mind has to be got rid of. The mind has to learn to be awake in the dream state, in possession of itself, not with the outgoing, but with an ingathered wakefulness, in which, though immersed in itself, it exercises all its powers. The remainder of this chapter of Samadhi will be the next reading.